We want to try to be a little practical today. Won't you just go with me on some scriptures, and let's pick up where I left off yesterday, if I may. And I want to show you some things about the Bible. I thought about showing you some things that are peculiar to your King James Bible. There are some of those, you know. The love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 10. That's only found in one book. There's a bunch of those. There's a bunch of them. And so that's how you can tell that you've got a King James Bible. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Through His blood makes that a King James Bible. And it's parallels with that of Ephesians 1:7. And for that reason, the scholars say that it's repetitious. It's repeating. They call it interpolation. But still, in other words, it's just borrowed from somewhere else. That's what they call it. I don't call it that, you know. I just call that the Word of God. I want you to go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. The book of Luke, chapter 24. And here, again, like we said yesterday, and I told you I'd give you the scriptures for them today, that people think that if you speak with original languages and you study original languages, that you automatically have light on the Bible. That you've got the upper hand over somebody else that doesn't know language. That is a lie. That is wrong. That is wrong. Luke chapter 24, the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. He's meeting those, we alluded to it yesterday, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You remember? It's in Luke chapter 24. Look with me in verse number 27. Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Skip to 31. And their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Now understand, they're speaking the same language. I don't believe it was Aramaic like some of the papacy saved it so. I believe it was Greek. But nonetheless, whether it's Greek or not, they spoke Hebrew in the synagogues. But still, who had to open up the Scriptures? Was it original languages? Was it a lexicon? Or was it the Lord Jesus Christ? Who opens up the Bible so you can get more out of the Bible? That would be God. That would be God. I believe that. I believe the Apostle Paul was here today, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, makes no difference. They'd have to do what you have to do and what I have to do. And it's similar to what Brother Tom just spoke about on work. Study. And what does Ecclesiastes tell you? Much studying is weariness of the flesh. Was that chapter 12, 10? Something like that. So the Lord Jesus Christ opened it up to them. Look in John, the next book. John chapter 3, let's look at verse 1, 4, and 9. John chapter 3, verses 1, 4, and 9. John 3, 1, the Scripture says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Look at verse number 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, there's the Lord Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? You say, why'd you bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? Simply this, they're speaking the same language. And Nicodemus, I don't understand what you're talking about. He didn't understand the new birth. That's what you're reading. He didn't understand being born again. You know that about that, don't you? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Here the Word incarnate, which means flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ was right there in front of them, telling him what's going on, that you must be, verse number 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus, in verse number 9, how can these things be? And you have in verse number 4, how can a man be born when he's old? He didn't understand what he was talking about. And yet, they spoke the same language. That's very important. We looked at Acts chapter 8. So I won't read it today. We looked at that yesterday. Remember Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, remember? And we showed that one of the reasons why the people don't understand the Bible is simply because they're not saved. They don't know Christ. I think that's reasonable. Now, that doesn't mean, just because you don't understand everything you read in the Bible, that I'm trying to say you're lost. Please don't think that. Because I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you're picking up the Bible, first of all, why would a lost man want to pick up the book in the first place? I mean, it's going to condemn him of his depravity. Come on. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But nonetheless, I have to be careful not to get off on tangents. So. But it doesn't matter whether you speak with the original languages or not. They didn't understand his speech. We showed you examples. And about the Lord, John 13, Luke chapter 18. I didn't give you Matthew 13, but we could have gone there. They didn't understand what he was talking about. He had to explain that. All right? Isn't that what we're doing when you come here? Sunday school, if you have that, I don't know. But here in the worship service, your pastor opens up the Bible. And what is he trying to do? He's opening up the Scriptures, you see. So it's expounding. It's explaining. And that's what's going on. We're not through. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter? In the book of 1 Peter. Doesn't matter whether you speak with biblical languages or not. Unless God opens up the Word, you're not going to get it. It's the same thing with salvation. So we're doing this. God has to open up. Remember Lydia in Acts chapter 16? Whose heart the Lord opened. He had opened her heart. And here, what did we just read? Well, kind of alluded to, but we read it yesterday. In Luke chapter 24. The Lord had to open up their understanding in order to get it. So for me, when I sat down to read the Bible, God has to open up my understanding just like you. I'm no different than you. Alright? So now I want you to see this. We're going to add a little bit more to it. Alright? Add a little bit more to it. In the book of 1 Peter, let's begin at verse number 10, shall we? 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 10. Now watch this. People think that, well, you speak of biblical languages. You've got a better chance of understanding, interpreting, and getting more out of the Bible than anybody else. That's not so. You're going to see that further. Then secondly, the Scripture writers, both Testaments, that's the way I put it, speak with biblical languages. That's what we use, Luke 24, John 3, and I alluded to Acts 8 because we read it yesterday. And now we're in 1 Peter, Scripture writers, both Testament. Scriptures, writers of Scripture in both Testaments didn't understand the Bible. Now you watch this. Of which salvation, verse 10, 1 Peter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto whom? You. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it, the Spirit of Christ which was in them, testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves it wasn't revealed unto them. Now they wrote it down, but it wasn't revealed to them. They didn't get it. You imagine Isaiah, he's sitting there pinning under inspiration, and he's writing down Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. And turn everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he's wondering, what's that talking about? Just like in Acts chapter 8 with the eunuch, remember? For in Acts chapter 8, of whom is the prophet speaking? Of himself or somebody else? They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And I think that's very important here. Unto whom it was revealed that not of themselves, but unto us, they did minister things which are reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They didn't get it. Now I'm going to show you something else. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's an apostle. Here's a Bible writer. Here's a person that walked with Jesus Christ. Here's a person that spoke the original languages. He went through his bar mitzvah. Oh yeah, sure did. 12 years of that, all that kind of stuff. And having learned reading Hebrew and all of that kind of thing with his little soferim. That's just a little pointer. Because that's what scribes were. It's what their name meant. Pointers. They pointed to Scripture. That's what I want to be. I want to point people to Scripture. Right? That's what it is. John the Baptist, he pointed to whom? Christ. You know that. All right, now watch this. Here, this individual, he's a Bible writer. Again, just reviewing all these facts. He read the words of the Apostle Paul. He didn't get it. He didn't understand. This is Peter, man. Come on. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look, beginning here at verse 15. 2 Peter 3:15. An account of the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, here it is, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood. The Apostle Peter found some of the things that Paul wrote hard to understand. You know what? You know what? That lets me know, so, okay, that's much better. Because I don't understand everything in the Word of God, do you? If I did, I would be as omniscient, that is, all-knowing as God is. I don't. There's no way that can happen. Not under this sun. So the Scripture says here, which they that are unlearned, unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. So here you have a case where people, they were Bible writers, writing the same language with the Apostle Peter. He walked and walked and talked with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher, God in the flesh, taught him Scripture, opened it up to him, and yet when he's sitting down reading the Apostle Paul, what in the world is he talking about? And it's hard to understand. Okay, so I'm just telling you, just because somebody knows a little bit of Greek and a little bit of Hebrew, it doesn't mean that they got the upper hand over you. You got that? I believe that. I spoke to a young upstart not too long ago, and I started mentioning the story yesterday. I didn't complete the thing. Wanted to study under Bill Gothard. And I told him that's a mistake. I said, what are you? I said, what denomination are you? He said, I'm a Baptist. I said, what kind of a Baptist are you? What flavor are you? He said, I'm Independent Baptist. I said, I understand that your pastor knows Greek. Yes, sir. Then why can't you study under your pastor? If you have been under your pastor's tutelage, and he's been teaching you the Word of God, why don't you allow him? Doesn't he take a strong stance for the Word of God, the King James Bible? Yes, sir, he does. Then why in the world would you want to take Greek under somebody that's going to use the wrong text, that doesn't understand, that underline the King James Bible, who is a liberal and a modernist, ecumenical? Why would you do that? The phone got quiet. He got quiet. I said, let me ask you a question. Why do you want to learn Greek in the first place? He said, because I want, you can just tell them, the preachers get real philosophical. Because I want to understand the real Bible. I said, don't you have a King James Bible? You got a real Bible. You got a real Bible. You just don't understand what you've got in front of you. You have no clue. You have no clue what you've got your hands on. Well, I just want to understand the Bible in its original languages. You got it right in front of you, bud. And I said, you know what? I wouldn't even teach you Greek. I wouldn't teach you Greek because you know what you've got? I said, you've got a spirit about you that you want to be a Bible corrector. You want to change the Word of God. I would say, no, I wouldn't fool you 5 minutes. You're a smart aleck preacher, Bobby. Maybe I am. But I tell you what, I'm big on motives. What's your motive? Guys, when you and I stand before the Lord, you know what you're going to be judged for, child of God? Whether it's playing the piano, whether it's getting up and being able to sing, whether it's standing up here to preach, whether it's teaching, whether it's pushing a broom, I don't care what you do. You're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, not the judgment seat of God. The judgment seat of Christ, why did you do what you did when you did it? Your motives. Why'd you do it? Oh, nobody else could. Why'd you do it? I don't stand up here and preach because nobody else here can't preach. Right? You've got some preacher boys here. You've got preacher, people that can preach. You don't need me for that. No. All right? They're more capable than I am. That's not the issue. Why are you here? Why are you preaching? Why are you singing? Why do you, when someone calls on you, pray? What's your motive? Lord, I thank Thee. I'm not like other men. What is your motives? You see what I'm saying? That's why I'm big on motives. And I wanted to know. And when he told me he wanted to be able to read it in original languages, we're done. We're done. We're done. That wasn't my motivation. And I don't believe in that. So I told him, I said, are you aware that Peter didn't understand the Apostle Paul? And that the disciples didn't understand the Lord? And that the prophets didn't understand God sometimes? Are you aware of that? And I read him these scriptures, and I heard some ding, 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 ding on his line. He arrived wherever he was. He opened up the door. He said, well, I suppose I got to go. I said, okay. I said, that's fine. But I said, we're done. We're done. And I said that you're going to be a Bible changer, a Bible corrector. Might I be able to tell your pastor that? Would you care? Click. I don't do that. I don't think it's right. Now I want you to see something here that's something else. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I decided to go ahead and take you there if that's all right. Let's look at one verse and then we got to move on. All right? Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter 13. Can you identify with these Bible writers? That there are passages you don't understand? That you've got to study and you've got to dig and you've got to pray and search and seek after God for God to give you some light? Here you go. But here we are in Matthew chapter 13. Skip down to verse 10. Now we've already noted about the parable. But look at verse number 11. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. There's some things revealed in Scripture. There's some things that are not. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You ever stop to think that some of the parts of the Bible is not for you? If you're not Jewish, guess what? I don't care what TBN does. I don't care. Because they're stealing from the Jew and trying to apply it to the church and give it to you. That's wrong. That's wrong. I can't take what God gave Abraham and say it's mine, mine, mine. No. 1 Corinthians 10, was it 31 or 32? 1 Corinthians 10, 31 or 32. It's one or the other. Look it up if you want to. But you'll see him there. He says, give none offense to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of the living God. There are things that apply to the church that doesn't apply to the Jew unless they are saved and a part of the Lord's kind of churches. Right? And the same thing, there are things that go to the Gentile that doesn't go to the Jew. Unless the Jew acts like a Gentile. Alright? So here in Matthew chapter 10, it's given unto you to know the things of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's not for the public at large, and they were Jewish people. Guys, I just when you stop and you read and you analyze a passage like this, he said, because it's given unto you. They asked him, why are you talking in parables? He said, because it's for you to know the mysteries. It's not for them. You imagine there are things that are hidden from you in the Bible that you don't understand and you want God hid them from you. Well, there's something that people ought to stop and think about. All right. Those are something to think about. And I want you to, you're welcome to do it. Now we need to get, I'm looking on the sheet now, and moving. That's at the top of page number 2, what we just went through. Now, beginning here, you have a question. Right before Roman numeral number 2. If you're seated, I'm going through those. I want to finish up. That's what I meant. Practical and kind of going through this with you. Finish it up here today. I want to watch my time. The biblical expressions. The Bible is a literal text. And I put by that, that's fidelity. What does that mean, fidelity? Faithfulness. They faithfully translated from the Greek, from the Hebrew to the English, and from the Greek to the English, they faithfully translated fidelity. Then linguistic. The Bible is not only a literal text, it's a linguistic text. Here I put clarity. Clarity. It is clear. They're putting it clear. In the book, I give an example of it's in Luke chapter 2, where that the babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Remember the wise men when they found the Lord. They would spell it different ways. It was crossed out. Now watch this. They had crossed out one spelling, a phrase. They had crossed it out. I've got it in here. And they had crossed out this. And they wrote here that somebody else crossed that out. I was on the Facebook, my cousins. They said, Bobby, we know that you take a strong stance for the King James Bible. What do you say about this? Oh, yeah. They were given 40 copies, the King James translators, of the Bishop's Bible. 40 copies to distribute among those six groups of men translating the Scriptures. So they were going through there and it was reading, and they had the Tyndale, they had Coverdale, they had other Bibles, they call them vernacular Bibles, but it's just plain Bibles of everybody. They had the Diodati of the Italian. They had Luther's Heiliger Schrift. That's the German Bible. They had all of the Bibles. But it's not coming to me, so it's all immature. It's just from Italy. They had Bible, the French Bible, the Levitan. They had, I already mentioned, the Italian Bible. They had all these Bibles. They were all these versions. Aramaic, all of them. One of them, by the way, but in passing, one of the King James translators wrote a 7-volume lexicon on Aramaic. Oh, okay. They just did the best they could with what they had. Yeah, right. You try that. You try writing a 7-volume. Yeah. Come on, Mr. Brainiac. Yeah, we know. These guys, what's going on today? They're a bunch of spiritual pygmies. They don't know anything in comparison with the translators. Does it help to be apostles who were Bible writers, spoke the original language, hearing each other, each member of the Godhead? Sometimes, but other times, no. It doesn't guarantee that you will automatically understand God's Word just because you know a little Greek and you know a little Hebrew. It doesn't guarantee you're going to get that. I'll take you to the books of Zechariah. Let's go see how you fare there, buddy. Hey, what about the book of Ezekiel? Oh yeah, hey, Daniel's a good book. Daniel's a good book. Let's go there. Let me show you a couple verses there and see how your Hebrew fares. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right, now we move to Roman numeral number 2. What do you mean, Roman? We move to? We're already there, dumbbell. Linguistics, clarity, literary, majesty. We have fun. Me, myself, and I. We have a lot of fun together. Sometimes we fight. All right, literary. It's a literary text. It speaks of its majesty. Its majesty. So the literal text, it speaks of fidelity. It's faithful to the original languages. Linguistic text, it's clarity. It's clear. So when my cousin told me that, and I said, well, you know, they had the Bishop's Bible, they crossed it all out. They were committees, after all, deciding on the Word of God. She was saying so much for inspiration of Scripture. And I said, besides all of that, I never said the King James Bible is inspired. I never taught dual inspiration in my life. But you know what I believe? As those Bible writers, holy men of old, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, if, bless God, if they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and that is inspiration, then if the King James translators, when they sat down to pen the Word of God, literally, linguistically, and in a literary way, when they sat down, then that means that inspiration is still retained if they were faithful to the original language in which they were. What did I mean by all that stuff? Just mean this. If it was originally inspired, then the King James translators on those, if it's faithful translation, and it is, then it retains it. It retains it. And if it's not so, can you be born again by a dead book? What is God? God's a God of life, right? And the Lord Jesus said that the Father, even as the Father hath life in Himself, even as He hath given to His Son to have life and to give life to whomsoever He will, you see. He gives life. The Word of God is alive. Now, it doesn't get up and walk around. It doesn't whistle, you know, or anything of that nature. But the Word of God is alive. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Verse number 13, what's He talking about? That Him, oh, it must be God. No. The antecedent there is not God. It's the Word of God found in verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I missed a part of that verse, but it's Hebrews 4, verse number 12. Of the discerner of the joints and the marrows and things. Hebrews 4:12. I get up here and get excited and get to work out, and I forget to get the passage, but I got the right reference. Okay? Hebrews 4:12. I'm pointing you to the Word of God now. All right. So, anyway, here you have, that is the Word of God. But what's going on there? God and His Word are inseparable. God and His Word are inseparable, you see. Because, in other words, they're used interchangeably. Yeah. If you don't believe that, go to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9, where Abraham had the gospel preached and the Scripture saith, wait a minute, that Scripture talks? Uh-huh. Talks to me. Does it talk to you? Does the Bible wake you up? Does the Bible keep you up? Does the Bible talk to you, child of God? Read Proverbs chapter 6. It wakeneth me. Yeah. And it'll teach you. The Word of God will teach you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Word of God's teaching. I can't spend long on these things that I love because I need to finish. I need to finish. So, that's what I... And I got blocked by my own cousin. That's fine. They're Catholics. they don't love the book. They don't love the book. And that's the problem. All right, let's move on here in this. Now, notice you see all these words. What's the big deal? What is the Bible? The Bible's a punctuated text. Yeah. The Bible has repetitions. Yeah. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Nay, but I say unto thee, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 3. Verse 5, it repeats it. It repeats it. It's a repetitious text. That's the reason why that the scholars don't like it. They think it's redundant. They don't like it. When it speaks about in the book of Luke, chapter 1, about Zacharias, John the Baptist's daddy, his father, he was an aged man, well stricken in years. And it says something, and it goes on. You know what they do in the modern Bibles? They take it out because why do we need to repeat all that? He's an old man. That's what they do. They don't like a repetitious text. Punctuated text. What's that mean? Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, would you? I can't go through all of these because we don't have time. All right, Ephesians chapter, what did I tell you? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. There we go. I think I told you 3. I'm sorry. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. All right, look at the end of verse number 3. What do you see? After the last word, Christ. You see a colon, right? That's a full stop, by the way. You're to stop and ponder. That's what they're there for. It's a punctuated text. They tell us that in the originals, I don't know, I've never seen the originals. I wouldn't know. I'd take their word for it. That there are no chapter, verse markings, or word separation or punctuation marks. That's what they tell me. I disagree with them. If you read Gill and John Owen, a bunch of other fellows named John, you and I have, so they proved that even the Old Testament was a pointed text, had the vowels and all that kind of stuff. But notice here, the colon. Look at the end of verse number 4, colon. Look at the end of verse number 5, comma. The end of verse number 6, a period. My. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, hallelujah, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. Hallelujah, glory to God. I get excited. I like that. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, would you? Chapter 1. That's one of my favorite verses. It's jam-packed with truth. Punctuation. They're putting it in there to show you how the text is to be written. That's why it's there. Notice this. This is pretty cool. Now, you may disagree, but I think the Word of God's pretty cool. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Now watch how this thing reads. This is really... I will tell you this, but as you're thinking about it, looking at the verse and see if you agree with me or if I'm just a nut basket, and that's okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you want to read that? Now, of course, Brother Tom's got a book over here, A Baptist View of the Book of Acts. It's a great book, by the way, and I'm putting the plug in for the brother because it's a great book. If you don't have it, I think it'll help you. But did you know that depending on the way you read that verse, Acts 2, verse 37, that repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus, you receive, get the Holy Ghost, you know, and you speak, you know, all that kind of stuff. The way that you read that verse by your voice inflection tells how you understand that Bible. I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. They help you to read the Bible, okay? And that's all I'm trying to point out. Honestly, I'm not a grammarian. I'm not some brainiac. I promise you I'm not. I'm just like you. I struggle. Some of you don't. Some of you, English and grammar and all those kind of things, punctuation, just, you get it. You understand the rules? I have to study. I really do. God who had shut, notice the punctuation marks. God. Who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, comma. Alright? When you're addressing somebody, you call them up on the phone. You call their name. Now that's what I do. I don't know how you talk on the phone. I don't know if I've got proper etiquette or not. I just go, John, how you doing? This is Bobby. Now how would you punctuate all of that kind of stuff? You see what I'm saying? Your Bible is punctuated. Verse number 2, hath in his last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom, speaking of his Son, he hath appointed heir of all things. By whom, there's the word whom again, is twice given, also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of his majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I enjoy reading this passage of Scripture. I have fun with this verse. I'm sitting there reading this. I love to get to the book of Hebrews and the book of Romans and the book of Hebrews in my own personal Bible reading. Love it. Because I get to go, God, who at sundry times, divers manners speak and turn, pass unto the fathers by the prophets. You're an idiot. You don't read like that. Oh, yes, I do. You come by my study sometime, and when I don't know you're out there, buddy, and you're liable to hear some funny sounds coming out of that study. When I'm reading my Bible, there's something about this book. This is a lively book. I promise you, when this thing begins to come to life, it'll speak to you. Proverbial expressions, we already gave you those. Remember yesterday? Wrap it up and all that kind of stuff. All right, let's move on. Hebraisms in the text. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Numbers, would you? Chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. Oh, I'm tearing my Bible up. Pages coming out. All right, don't worry. I don't need another Bible. I got about 10,000 at home. All right. Okay. I know I'm convicted about it and I shouldn't have that, but some people gave me the Bible. They buy them for me. They give them. What do I do? No, I've already got too many Bibles. Thank you. Give them to somebody else. All right. Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. And I want you to take a gander, take a look there, if you will, and at verse number 55. Numbers chapter 33 and verse number 55. Anything stand out there? I don't know if it stands out to you. Excuse me. Stands out to you or not, but believe it or not, there are some Hebraisms that are right there. Well, actually, an Hebraism that's right there in the text. All right, let's look at it. Numbers chapter 33, verse number 55. All right? Numbers chapter 33. Verse number 55. But and if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, all these ites, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides, shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides. There you go. Don't you have some expressions? I remember there was back when I was in college a million years ago when Methuselah was still living. I remember when I was in college, there was this fellow, I think he was a Lebanese, and he came over to the States. He took a liking to a girl, and she got, you know, took a like, whatever, you know. And anyway, she decides she's going to show him around town. I'm not sure that's a good idea. But nonetheless, she was going to show him around town. They got downtown, and she was saying, this is this, and this is that, and this is over there, the whole nine yards. And then there was a hot dog stand. And right away, you know there's going to be a problem, right? Because this fellow's going to say, oh, there's a hot dog stand. Would you like a hot dog? That fellow backs up. Oh, no. In my country, we don't eat no hot dog. No, no, no. Hot, a dog, hot, eating a dog. No, we don't eat. She said, no, 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 no. You must be kidding. Ha, ha. Starts laughing. And then she says, you're pulling my leg. He backs up again. I know pull your leg. I know touch. I know touch. And he's looking around. Literalism. You see, we have expressions. And of course, in the South, they've got maters, taters. Yeah, yeah. But just know this. Just know this. Among those Southerners, or they'll take, I don't know why they do this, but if a name, any word, ends in the vowel A, almost invariably, what are they going to do with that letter? Out it goes, and they're going to slap ER or UR right there to it. Every time. Lady asked one time, Brother Bobby, Sister Bernice, and she said, would you mind too terribly much, this is the way she spoke, too terribly much of going to see my sister Linder? I'm thinking L-E-N-D-E-R. A lender. Bank. Loans. What? That's what I'm thinking. Sister Bernice, may I ask you a question? Don't slap me. Would you mind spelling that for me? She looked at me. L-I-N-D-A. Just because they speak with an accent doesn't mean they think with one. I had to learn that real quick. Taters and maters and are you washed? I don't know where you get that R and that word washed, but they slapped her in there. Anyway, let me just give you, so we don't have time to go to the script. Deuteronomy 31:6, good courage. Good courage. Who speaks like that? Be courageous. Be strong. Good courage. Joshua 1:8, good success. I hope you have good success. That's a Hebraism. To the weak became I. Exceedingly the more joyed we. What? You were really excited and joyful and rejoicing, right? Okay. Therefore will we not fear. I'm not, you know what we do today? I'm not afraid. Therefore we, in God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. And what is this all this for? I will praise God's Word. And that's what I'm trying to do this week. Praising God's Word. All right? Now don't misunderstand me. People, you know, like I've told some of you that, you got a paper pope. Well, mine's infallible and yours is not. If you believe in the pope, and I don't. There's no hope in the pope. All right. Now, what about in the New Testament? Galatians 1:5. Forever and ever. That's a Hebraism. All right? What about Romans 7:3? She be married to another man. She be? What's she be? My wife had a baby. What's she be? You're probably like, and you walk off, right? After you're like, can you believe that guy? We don't speak this way. But nobody ever did. Nobody ever did. And so anyway, so I want you to see, here's one that always had to, and always got me. 2 Kings 2 and 3, to Elisha. And they come up here to, they come up here to Elisha and Elijah, and they come up to him and they said, don't you know? The Lord's going to take away thy master from thy head today. We don't talk that way. Now, I'm not making light of the Word of God. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just telling you, these are Hebraisms, the way that they spoke, and your Bible is shot through with them. You know why? You won't find them in modern versions. You know why? They don't understand Hebrew. They don't understand the Jewish people. They have absolutely no clue on that. And I wish we had time to go through. There are English archaisms in your Bible. They are there. You just might as well deal with it. They are there whether you believe it, accept it, understand it, or not. Let me give you a few. 1 John 1:1. That which is from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Alright? That which. Yeah, we understand those two words around Halloween time. You see that which? No, wrong spelling. W-H-I-C-H. That which. This is for whom or what was. Genesis 13:8. We be brethren, for we are brethren. If a thief be found breaking up. That's when somebody broke in my house the other night. And let me skip all that. Word flesh for meat is used in the Bible. Every several city for every single city. Against tomorrow, hyphen between tomorrow. Against it for tomorrow. He thought scorn, for he was very angry. Cannot away with. I cannot away with. This is God speaking in Isaiah 1 verse number 12. Anyway, there are many of them. And I don't give a bunch. I just give a few. Preacher, what about all of those archaic words in that Bible? Did you know that there are archaic words in your Bible? But bless God, don't you always know also that there are archaic words in every version? They just don't want you to know that. I've got a list. You don't have that, but I've got a list of archaic words that are found in modern Bibles. All right, and the New International Version, 1973. All right, we say right. We don't say all right. Deride, odious. That's odious. No, we say that stinks. That smells. What's that odor? Traffic. With a K in it. Public with a K in it. Music with a K in it. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 2, when you hear the sound of the music. But you know what? We're so smart. We're such a young nation compared to many of the others, right? We think that that book has misspelled words in it because it's got a K in the word music. Why? I get better sense than that. But did you know that all of Europe spells music, public, with a K. They do. They spell it. They spell it that way. And anyway, in the American Standard Version, dist, doest, doth, gavest, thee, thine. Ooh, thee and thine. That's in the American Standard Version. Oh, you out-of-date, archaic Bible, you. New King James, 1982. Beggarly. Beggarly elements. Begot, bemoan. Here's a good one. Paramours. Have you got any, not Grey Poupon, but have you got any paramours? Have I got what? Give me my phone. Let me look that up real quick. Alright? Warp? We're not talking about Star Trek. Wet? We're not talking about W-E-T. We're talking about W-H-E-T. What about the New Revised Standard Version? Came out in 1999. Assaged. Oh, we're not talking about a massage parlor thing. Asunder. Let no man put asunder. Comely. Honey, before you come home from work, would you mind picking up some milch? M-I-L-C-H. Upbraided them. That's the New Revised Standard Version. Say, why is that? You know what they're doing? They're trying to point to the archaic words in here to get your eyes, your thoughts, your minds off of those same archaic words in their Bible. You have a book that is some 3,500 years of age. Wouldn't you think you're going to come across an archaic word occasionally? You sure would. So, all right. And time's getting away. And now, there are some things that, let me see where I can try to find a place to end here. Can I just give you some random stuff? You put the word my. You're familiar with the word my? We say it all the time. We're a me generation. You know? And anyway. All right. My is put in front of a noun such as God, my people. But the word mine is used. When is the word mine, M-I-N-E, used? It's used in front of a noun as well. But it's beginning with a vowel. Then you have the word mine. Mine ear. Mine altar. See that? They're not difficult. It's just once you learn to read the book. You have to learn to read Shakespeare. You have to learn to read music. And I know some people have the gift, they have a musical ear and they play by ear. But by and large, most people have to learn the notes. You have to learn that. The medical terms, you have to learn. Same thing in the Bible. You learn the terminology and you read through it as it interprets itself. There are all kinds of things, things like that. And that words will begin to change. Parallelisms, I don't have time to go through that. So let me find a place to close on page number 3, Biblical English here. And I've already covered that. No one ever spoke like the Bible. I wish I had time to go through only begotten with you. But just know this about the term, that only begotten applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a different word when you say one and unique or only unique one. It's a different Greek word. It's a different Greek word. Liddell and Scott, Lexicon, 1868, defined the unbegotten, and it lets you know that it comes from generation begot, and it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we believe, and the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. These modern Bibles don't, so they change it to one and only unique one, or something like that. And it's a different word. But when they took 1968, Liddell and Scott, and they republished it, they revised it. You know what they did? They took that out and changed the definition. So that now the preacher boys, when they go off to training, what happens? They find out, my King James Bible is in error. No, it's not. Those sorry liberals changed it. They changed it. Who moved? Very quickly, betwixt and between, what's the difference? Did you know that betwixt is literally between two people only? In Job chapter 9, was it 33? Oh, that there was a daysman betwixt us, meaning me and God, betwixt. But the word between is used when there's more than two. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. Bunch. There's a difference. Shall and always, alway means all the way. The Lord's with us all the way. But always, it's moment by moment by moment by moment. There's a difference. Your Bible knows the difference. Modern people, they don't know. They don't know the difference. They don't know the difference why the Bible gives Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost is His name. Matthew 28 and 20. Name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid of that. That's His name. What does Spirit apply to? Spirit applies when He begins to work. When He is working. Agape and love, world of difference. It doesn't just mean. Did you know, I've got examples, time is gone, I don't want to give them to anything unless you're interested. But did you know that there are times when Jesus said, I'm not talking about John chapter 21. Everybody knows about that one. When agape, phileo, all that good kind of good Greek, and blah, 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 and we go and copy everybody. We want the God kind of love. All right? Let me show you the God kind of love. God loved Jesus, phileo. It's not agape. They're used interchangeably. Agape is used interchangeably. But what is agape? When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you realize when it's translated some 28 times as charity, it doesn't mean contribute to the charity of your choice as we take it to mean today. You realize charity is between us as believers in Christ. You read your Bible, and I promise you, you will come up with it. How about Colossians 3:14, just to give you one example, and that's it. You can go there and read it. I don't have time with B-ray and betray. There's a slight difference. B-ray is a disclosed, divulge a secret. Whereas betray, you're giving somebody over to the authorities, which is exactly what Judas Iscariot did when he handed the Lord Jesus Christ over them. He betrayed the Son of God. That's why the Lord didn't say, Judas, bewrayeth the Son of Man with a kiss? That's only just to reveal. Let his secret out. See, your Bible is exact. What a book. I hope these are just a few, and I gave you some of the things down at the bottom. British spelling, straightway, and straight. Man, I wish we, but, and then in Psalm 119, those references there at the bottom of the page, those references deal. You know what gives you understanding? The inspiration of the Almighty. Whether you define that, the breath of God makes no difference to me. All Scripture doesn't say was. All Scripture is given. If you had a bass singer, that'd be cool. All right, there's a bunch of them. And I'll tell you, reading the Bible, it's just, I enjoy it. I hope that this will help you, and what we've tried to do to help you. I hope it hasn't been too boring for you, that you got something out of it that's practical that you can use. But you know what? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God is the one that works in you, as He brother preached on, to work, to do of His own good will. And I'm glad that God showed me Christ. How everything that I know, and everything you know, comes out of here, right? If for no other reason, everything you know about the Lord. Yeah, your pastor, and your mom, and your dad, thank God, but it come out of here. Christ paid the sin debt, was buried on the cross, buried and raised again the third day according to Scripture. I got Scripture. I hope you do as well.